Your conference is being recorded.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's 12 o'clock, so we're going to get started. Just a couple of housekeeping things before we get started. My name is Kim Young, H&HB Lynn Advisor Planning. I'm going to go through the H&HB Lynn communication webinar today related to the Rehabilitative Care Alliance work. We are currently in lecture mode, so all calls have been muted due to the number of participants that are expected to join today. I'm wondering if someone could just indicate in the chat box if you can hear me okay, or if there's any issues with the volume. You do need to call in to the conference line. Perfect. I can see someone typing just to make sure that everyone can hear me okay. For audio, you must call into 1-855-392-2520 and the access code that's available on the webinar. If there are any issues with volume, then please indicate on the chat function. I don't see any comments here. Everyone seems to be hearing okay. So in the interest of time, I'll get started. I will unmute the lines for questions at the end of the webinar. Just due to the number of high volumes and participants to minimize background noise, it is on a teleconference mode. Questions can be entered in the chat function here for discussion. I do hear a beep on the teleconference line. I believe it's individuals joining, so hoping that will stop. This teleconference will be recorded. The agenda today is we're going to provide a brief overview of the Rehabilitative Care Alliance work. I want to thank everyone who has joined today. I know that many of you have been very involved in this work and participated in several ways, wanting to say thank you to everyone who has joined the teleconference today, who has been involved in making this work happen within the H&HB Lynn, and also thank you to those of you who may not have been as involved with the work but who are interested in the outcomes. We're going to quickly give that brief overview of the Rehabilitative Care Alliance, review the rationale for the definitions framework for rehabilitative care. We're going to review the key features and the implementation of the definitions framework for rehabilitative care. We will discuss the H&HB Lynn referral option tools. They have been developed for both bedded and community. I'm just going to pause one second here because I hear one concern on the chat function about inability to hear, so everybody seems to be able to hear okay with the exception of one participant. So I'm just going to resend the instructions here briefly for audio. So some of you who may have participated in webinars in the past, there is an audio function built into the webinar, but out of experience it doesn't work well, so we always pair with the teleconference line. Hopefully that individual will be able to see. So continuing on, we're going to look at the referral option tools for bedded in community, speak to the Rehabilitative Care Alliance naming convention, and then direct everyone to the H&HB Lynn Rehabilitative Care webpage. And there's also appendices to this presentation, resources to help you determine where does the person fit, information on the bedded levels of rehabilitative care that's more detailed than what we all have time to go through today, the community-based levels of rehabilitative care, and the development of the definitions framework. As you can see on the bottom of every slide is also the link to our rehabilitative care webpage. If the slide came from the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance, then the link is to the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance site. So to a brief overview of the Rehabilitative Care Alliance, both provincial and the H&HB Lynn work. So as you will be aware that the Rehabilitative Care Alliance is a provincial collaborative, it was established by Ontario's 14 Lynns. It did start in April 2013. The initial work had a two-year mandate with deliverables focusing on supporting improved patient experiences and enhancing the adoption and effectiveness of clinical and fiscal priorities. There was a renewed mandate at that time for a second two-year mandate and then now a third two-year mandate. So that's where we are right now, is we're going to recap the work that's been completed within the H&HB Lynn over the three mandates. The third mandate comes to an end on March 2019. The standardized definition for rehabilitative care is comes from the Complex Continuing Care Rehab Expert Panel. Rehabilitative care is a broad range of interventions that result in the improved physical, mental, and social well-being of those suffering from injury, illness, or chronic disease. The Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance Mandate 3 vision, so to guide this two-year mandate, the part of Mandate 3, was patient and system outcomes are optimized through the integration of rehabilitative care at all levels of health services, policy, planning, and delivery. So keep in mind, this is more of a high-level vision that is across the province for the Rehabilitative Care Alliance and all 14 LHINs. Within the HNHB LHIN, we have a Mandate 3 Rehabilitative Care Alliance vision, and that is related to imagine what we can achieve together in rehabilitative care when we are responsive to patients and families and have expectations to optimize outcomes and improve access to rehabilitative care. So this vision is aligned with the work plans. So on slide 9, you will see the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance governance structure. So this supports that provincial vision. So at the top, you'll see the LHIN CEOs are there, all 14 LHINs, Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care. There's a Rehabilitative Care Alliance Steering Committee. We won't have time to go through this governance structure in detail or the work that's happened provincially, but would like to direct you to the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance website where you can find resources related to each component of this governance structure and the work completed to date. Today, we will focus on the definitions advisory group. So provincially, there has been a definitions advisory group and a definitions implementation group. Most of the information we discuss today will be about the LHIN implementation of this provincial work. You should also be aware that there's a capacity planning advisory group, assess and restore, frail seniors advisory group, and we have several great initiatives related to these as well that we will not be going into detail to discuss today. Outpatient ambulatory advisory group, QBP advisory group related to total joints and hip fracture, the systems evaluation group, and patient caregiver advisory group. Again, there will not be time during this webinar to review all of this work, but the focus of this webinar is related to the definitions advisory group and some of the work that has come within the HNHB LHIN. So on slide 10, you will see that the HNHB LHIN Rehabilitative Care Alliance governance structure was established to support the work of Mandate 3. It ties in with that provincial work, so ultimately we're accountable to the LHIN CEOs and the Ministry and the Provincial RCA Steering Committee for the work that we complete within each of the 14 LHINs. We have our HNHB LHIN leadership team, and Rosalind Tarrant as the Vice President of Health System Strategy and Integration. We have our HNHB LHIN RCA Advisory Committee. I'm the chair of that committee, and we also have representatives from each sub-region of the HNHB LHIN involved in that committee, as well as several others. We also have patient and family representation at the advisory committee. We have a patient advocate currently who participates in that committee. I want to say thank you to all the individuals that you see named here. If you have questions related to the Rehabilitative Care Alliance work at a sub-region level, I would recommend that you link with myself, and I can also link you as needed with the sub-region task group co-chairs. In the Hamilton sub-region, Jane Lonkey and Catherine LeBlanc have led this work and developed working groups as required. In the Niagara Northwest sub-region, Cindy McDonald has been the lead. We haven't needed a task group, as within the Niagara Northwest, Cindy has linked with the partners to complete the work to date. In the Niagara sub-region task group, the co-chairs David Shelley and Leanne Hammond have led this work. Alderman Norfolk sub-region task group, Patty Bruder and Pam Whalen, Brant Subregion Task Group, Deb Neal and Daryl Yardley, Burlington Subregion Task Group, Cheryl Gustafson and Rebecca Cliff Placco, and we also have a Systems Evaluation Task Group with leaders Stefan Paliuzzo and Aaron Kelleher, and working groups for each as required. Wanting to thank the individuals who have led this work within each sub-region and also the members of each of the task groups who will not be able to name today, but wanting to thank all of the individuals who have been really invested in the HNHB LHIN in terms of completing this work. We had a work plan during Mandate 2, and as you can see, the webinar is going to focus today on a summary of part of that work plan, There was mapping tools completed, alignment strategies, implementation, and adoption. So these three components of the work plan will be discussed today. There was another work plan developed for this mandate, for Mandate 3. And as you can see today, we're going to talk about the sub-region planning component and the reevaluation component of this work plan. But as you also see, there are several other components of the work that will not be discussed today. Would welcome questions about that following the webinar. Moving forward to the rationale for the definitions framework, I will not go into this information in detail, but just give you a high-level summary of why the definitions frameworks were developed. The work of the Rehabilitative Care Alliance supports the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care 10-point plan to strengthen home and community care. So the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care is to create levels of care frameworks to ensure that services and assessments are consistent across the province and that they're easily accessible, and that this was identified as a significant system-wide improvement addressing service and information gaps. So the Rehabilitative Care Alliance work has really enabled this plan in order to achieve standardized, bedded, and community definitions framework for levels of rehabilitative care. So now we have provincial standards for the levels of rehabilitative care. They are intended to provide clarity for patients, families, and referring professionals on the focus and clinical components of rehabilitative care programs. So they would describe what should be provided to guide planning for both bedded and community-based rehabilitative care services. If you want information about the patients first and a roadmap to strengthen home and community care, there's a link at the bottom there, and the link to the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance website as well. In terms of the definitions, all 14 LHINs were expected to implement the Rehabilitative Care Alliance definitions frameworks for both bedded and community-based levels of rehabilitative care. This includes adoption of the new terminology, adoption of the new eligibility criteria, as well as recategorization of the rehabilitative care resources according to the levels of rehabilitative care that are outlined in the definitions framework. I know many of you are very familiar with this work, so we'll just have a high-level overview quickly before we get into the resources available in the HNHB LHIN. So rehabilitative care before this work was very confusing for patients and families and referring partners. So before the Rehabilitative Care Alliance, there was a lack of standardization and clarity across Ontario regarding the focus and clinical components of rehabilitative care and the eligibility criteria for rehabilitative care. This resulted in confusion for patients, families, and referring partners. This also has led to a limited ability to produce and understand data on resource utilization, and it really compromises our understanding of system and patient level outcomes. So the definitions frameworks were developed in order to resolve those issues that were identified, and I'll just briefly review the key features. So they provide a shared understanding among patients, families, and referring partners on the levels of rehabilitative care, including a clear definition of restorative potential, common eligibility criteria, goals of patient care, patient-client characteristics, medical health care resources, and intensity of therapy for each level of rehabilitative care. It's important to note that the definitions framework are specific to the levels of rehabilitative care and not specific to each patient population and quality-based procedures related to each. Bedded levels of rehabilitative care definitions framework looks like this slide that you see in front of you. The full framework is available on the website there, but it gives us all of the definitions component related to rehabilitation, low to high intensity, activation restoration, short-term complex medical management, and long-term complex medical management. So there are now four levels of rehabilitative care in the HNHB LHIN and also across the province of Ontario. Rehabilitation being a progression level, activation restoration also progression, short-term complex medical management, stabilization and progression, and then long-term complex medical management as a maintenance level of rehabilitative care. What do the definitions mean for us? I want to acknowledge Helen Johnson and the Erie St. Clair LHIN Rehabilitation lead and her team, they took a slide from the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance and adapted it. This will give you at a quick glance an idea of the levels of rehabilitative care and how they compare related to the need for active medical management. So this first arrow here, so obviously in acute care, the need for active medical management is the highest, where in long-term complex medical management, the need for active medical management is the lowest, and you can see the programs in between. Also, the nursing and ADL care needs are similar in terms of the highest are in acute and the lowest are in long-term care complex, in long-term complex medical management. And you can also see the therapy levels are the highest when you're looking at rehabilitation in the middle, and then also short-term complex medical management and activation restoration. Some people like this slide as a quick reference. The definitions framework for the bedded levels of rehabilitative care, it's important to recognize the scope. It includes all hospital-based inpatient rehab beds, some complex continuing care beds, and convalescent care beds. So again, these are the funded bed types that you traditionally may still be referring to your programs in. We're really encouraging individuals to look at where the beds align with bedded levels of rehabilitative care and utilize this terminology where possible with patients and families and referring partners, where we know that health service providers working in rehabilitative care will continue to need to know the funded bed types for each beds that fall within the bedded levels of rehabilitative care. So it includes those funded bed types that you see there. It's important to note that it does not include the funded bed types within complex continuing care, where rehabilitative care is not the primary purpose or focus of the care. So examples are palliative care end-of-life beds are not in scope, respite beds, behavioral programs, and ALC units will not be under the bedded levels of rehabilitative care framework. So for community-based levels of rehabilitative care, it includes all local health integration network or Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care funded programs with a primary rehabilitative care focus provided by or under the supervision of regulated health professionals. This is really important to note as there was a significant amount of work by all of our stakeholders that you have seen earlier in the governance structure, as well as all the members of the sub-region task groups, to really work through what rehabilitative care programs are in scope and out of scope for these tools. We do recognize that there may be rehabilitative care programs that are in scope that are not included in some of the tools, and that's the purpose of having some of the broad communication with stakeholders today. If there are any programs that you feel have been missed, a significant amount of work has went into compiling the resources to date. A couple of programs are in a parking lot for further discussion. And if there's anything that you feel we've missed, please email myself and you'll see my information at the end. So again, it includes programs with a primary rehabilitative care focus towards progression or maintenance of functional status. So the programs that do not have a regulated health professional either providing or supervising the program are out of scope. And those programs that might have a rehabilitative care focus that are not LIN or ministry funded would not be included. On slide 24, you'll see a very detailed referral decision tree for rehabilitative care. This is intended to be used with the Rehabilitative Care Alliance definitions framework. You can see there's a link at the bottom, as many of you, I'm sure, will not be able to read this slide. I can tell you just as an overview that step one leads you through determining eligibility for rehabilitative care. Once someone's determined eligible, then step two leads you through determining if patients' needs can be met by community-based rehabilitative care. If the answer is no and individuals' needs cannot be met in the community, then you skip to step four. And step four leads you through determining which bedded level of rehabilitative care would meet the needs of your patient or the patient in question. So again, you can see that the bedded levels of rehabilitative care are here. So it guides you through thinking about the goal, the functional trajectory, the target population, functional characteristics, and aligning them with the bedded level of rehabilitative care, either rehab, activation, restoration, short or long-term complex medical management. if individuals' needs could be met in the community, then step three leads you through determining whether individuals require a progression or a maintenance level of rehabilitative care. On the next slide, this is a little bit larger here for community-based levels of rehabilitative care. There's a framework that's been developed outlining progression and maintenance. I know many of you are very familiar with this. The important piece to note is that a very key transition point is a link to wellness health promotion programs that are provided by non-regulated health professionals. These programs are beyond the scope of the framework. However, they're very integral programs in terms of managing the health problems and supporting community reintegration for individuals. So when discharge planning and transitioning clients to self-management activities, it's important for individuals to reference these wellness health promotion programs that exist within the HNHB LIN. And all of the exercise programs that are LIN-funded are listed on our website, and you will see that link later on in the presentation. The definitions frameworks for levels of rehabilitative care are implementation. So we were charged with implementing the definitions framework within the HNHB LIN. What does that this mean for us, as well as the other 13 LINs? So number one, all of our rehabilitative care programs have been recategorized according to those levels rehabilitative care, the four levels of vetted, and the two levels of community. Number two, admission criteria for rehabilitative care programs have been aligned with the eligibility criteria and the definition of restorative potential. Number three, the standardized RCA naming convention has been applied to rehabilitative care programs. I will mention that the standardized naming convention, the final draft, came out after all of our work had been complete within the HNHB LIN. So I review it briefly here, asking for the providers who are on the call, if your programs are listed on the community referral option tool or the vetted referral option tools in our LIN, to have a look at that standardized naming convention and some of the additional detail that came out. And if there's minor changes that need to be made, we'd be happy to make those edits because we recognize that we have some refinements to do, and that was part of our evaluation. So recently we participated in a provincial evaluation to say whether we've done these four steps and implemented, and also recognize that, you know, we wanted to give a look over those naming conventions now that it's been refined and ensure we're aligned. On step number four is that LINs were expected to have Rehabilitative Care Alliance resources and tools customized to reflect the programming in each LIN. So ours have been customized to reflect the programming in the HNHB LIN. So now we have HNHB LIN referral option tools for both vetted and community. Very happy to say, and again, acknowledging all the partners who have enabled this work to happen. So the referral option resources for vetted and community-based levels of rehabilitative care you can see here. So the vetted referral option tool includes the four levels and all of the programs underneath. They're also the publicly funded programs by regulated healthcare professionals in the community are aligned with progression, and those are your outside of the home, hospital-based outpatient program services, your community physiotherapy clinics, other community programs and services that are rehabilitative care, as well as in-home. Also, the publicly funded programs by regulated healthcare professionals aligned with maintenance. So again, the maintenance piece is really preventing that functional decline or maintaining functional performance. And all of the programs across Ontario related to falls prevention programs have been aligned with this maintenance level of rehabilitative care. So outside of the home, there's falls prevention programs, other clinics and services, and then in-home rehabilitative care programs. So each of these referral option tools also include eligibility criteria and the key features of the levels of rehabilitative care. So when you get the tool and you'll see the tools coming next, you'll be able to see all that information on it. So we now have Rehabilitative Care Alliance maps and vetted referral option tools for all subregions in the HNHB LIN. The one's been created for Brant, Burlington, Haldimand, Norfolk, Hamilton, Niagara, and Niagara Northwest, and they can be accessed on our website. I'm going to just wait a couple more slides to be able to pull that website up for you, and also the falls prevention and exercise website. There's a quick reference chart here on slide 32. All of the links for all of the tools are there, so Hamilton, Niagara, Niagara Northwest, Haldeman, Norfolk, Brant, and Burlington. But easily, if you have an individual who you're referring to an alternate subregion, so they may have received acute care within a particular hospital site but are being discharged home to a residence outside of that particular subregion, now you'll easily be able to look at whether they need a bedded program in another subregion or a community program within another subregion. You'll use these tools to be able to identify. On slide 33, you'll see that the framework itself and the tool includes the eligibility criteria and the restorative potential so that you can quickly reference this information. I'm not going to go through it because it's small font and you can easily access that and look at it. The bedded referral option tool also shows at a glance a one page. So we encourage you to use this one pager to show the key differentiating features between rehab, activation, restoration, short-term complex medical management, and long-term complex medical management. It includes what we were talking about, the functional goal in terms of which programs are progression and which programs are stabilization and progression and or maintenance. It gives your target population for each, the average length of stay for each. And again, this is the average and not specific to individual patient populations, quality-based procedures. So you can see that under rehabilitation, a piece has been added about the average length of stay, that it would be based on best practice targets and discharge indicator considerations, and that the rehab team would confirm the length of stay for the specific program. And we know that several programs in the HNHB LIN have been working towards length of stay targets based on RPGs, and other partners have been sharing this work at the Rehabilitative Care Alliance Advisory Committee, and all of our targets in the HNHB LIN are lower than the average length of stay indicated on the provincial tool. We do have more decreased length of stay targets for all of the programs that are here and do have the less than 90 days on our targets that go for our complex care programs, and as well our rehab partners are utilizing targets that are lower than the 90 days, so we have not had any concern about the 90-day length of stay target. The discharge indicator is listed for all of the programs, the medical care, and you can easily cross-reference across the medical care and the nursing care, and therapy intensity. And again, it's important to note that the therapy intensity is based on that bedded level of rehabilitative care and should be based on a patient's individual tolerance and individual needs. And again, on those best practice targets and just discharge indicator considerations and collaboration with the rehab team to confirm the length of stay for each program as well as for each individual. On slide 35, you'll see a referral flow chart for community-based levels of rehabilitative care. So again, if individuals can have their needs met in the community and do not need a bedded level of rehabilitative care program, it leads you through an algorithm to determine if individuals require a progression level of rehabilitative care, then they would go to a hospital-based program or community physiotherapy clinic or other. And then there's an in-home component if individuals require in-home. And if it's a maintenance level of rehabilitative care that's required, then you can see that there's falls prevention programs and other programs. And this has all been customized in each resource outlined within our LIN. At the bottom, you'll see a link to find publicly funded exercise classes, and we've went beyond this and within the HNHB LIN have now the falls prevention and exercise classes listed by subregion on our website. And again, I'll pull that up quickly. So the referral options resource for community-based levels of rehab care, you'll just see it a little bit bigger there. So progression, there's those four types of programs. And for maintenance, you can see that there's four types of programs listed there as well. And there's always a link to the falls prevention at the bottom. And the eligibility criteria, similar to bedded, it's included on all of the community-based levels of rehabilitative care as well. That standardized eligibility criteria for community and restorative potential definition. And then there's appendix for each of the community-based referral option tools that shows the key features of both progression and maintenance. So there's some things that the levels of care have in common, and then the key differentiating components. I'm going to keep moving us forward. So the final community referral option tools and Rehabilitative Care Alliance maps have all been posted on the HNHB LIN website for all of the subregions, and I won't name them again. You can see them there. The links are here on slide 41 if you're looking quickly and want to access the link. It's important to note that the wellness programs are out of scope. So the Hamilton wellness programs, the LiveWell YMCA programs have been added to healthline.ca, and there's a link there. We know that it's important to keep that link to those community wellness programs. And there's work later related to a Rehabilitative Care Alliance portal that's being developed, and we've provided feedback to make sure that there's a clear link between rehabilitative care programs and community wellness programs. So the availability of publicly funded exercise programs that are typically provided by non-regulated healthcare professionals. So again, if you recall that scope of this provincial work, it includes those programs either delivered or supervised by a regulated healthcare professional. So now the publicly funded exercise programs are provided by non-regulated healthcare professionals, and they're very region specific. So for the HNHB LIN, we've posted all those programs by subregion on our website and the links there. And again, I will pull it up so that you can take a look at what's been completed. And then there's also a general overview and links to region specific programs on the Ontario. So for example, if you have individuals who you're referring outside of the HNHB LIN or moving between LINs, then you will be able to access some standardized information on the Ontario website. The expectation going forward is that all 14 LINs would have all of their community referral option tools complete, such as we do in the HNHB LIN. I know we were the first to complete ours. And they would have vetted referral option tools similar to the HNHB LIN for all other LINs, so you should be able to access that in the future as well. You can also refer to healthline.ca, and I'll let you know about some work that's happening in order to align this with the healthline.ca. Just a quick overview in terms of customization of the provincial RCA resources that happened in the HNHB LIN. There was a lot of work that went into customizing these provincial tools to make them work within our HNHB LIN and ensure that they're reflective of the programs provided. And extensive consultation happened with stakeholders across the HNHB LIN and LIN subregions. And we've had the opportunity, Rebecca Fleck and myself, Rebecca from Hamilton Health Sciences, who led the Community Referral Option Tools work in Hamilton, to present to the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance to share with the other 13 LINs how we've customized the Community Referral Option Tools in our LIN. We want to ensure that it's standardized across the province and that they take the lessons learned from our LIN as early adopters and ensure that consistency across the province. So we did need to engage multiple community rehabilitative care stakeholders. The programs had to be assessed individually as well as in relation to one another. We wanted to achieve consensus and consistency on the alignment of similar type programs across our subregions. The alignment for programs which may have been aligned with both progression and maintenance levels of rehabilitative care. So the beginning of all this work, I won't go too much back in the work plan, but all of the community embedded programs started with a mapping tool. They completed a mapping tool several years ago to say where their programs aligned. During that mapping tool, some of our community rehabilitative care programs aligned themselves with both progression and maintenance. This was challenging when the new community referral option tool came out and the algorithm supported, you know, a decision to be made about whether someone required progression or maintenance. We felt in our LIN this was an important differentiation as individuals who require involvement of a regulated healthcare professional need to be within that progression base, and individuals who may need more of a maintenance level of rehabilitative care with either supervision or provision by a regulated healthcare provider, such as in falls prevention programs, would need a maintenance level, and individuals may triage from progression to maintenance, or upon discharge from inpatient rehabilitative care, it would need to be determined whether the individual needed a progression. So, for example, a speech-language pathology program one-on-one would align with a progression level of rehabilitative care and then progress to a maintenance level where an individual may attend an aphasia supportive conversation group after one-on-one SLP. So we worked very diligently to differentiate the progression programs from the maintenance programs, acknowledging that there is a component of each within the programs. So we utilize the 80-20 rule. So if 80% of the time the individual is referred to that program, required a progression level of care, and 80% of the individuals were progressing in that program, then it was aligned with progression, and vice versa for maintenance. So there's always the chance that individuals in a progression level of rehabilitative care are also receiving maintenance for other functional challenges that they may have or other rehabilitative care needs. And similarly, in the maintenance level of rehabilitative care, there may be that group of individuals who continue to progress, or individuals may achieve some of their goals and be able to progress with some of their goals and maintain with others, utilizing that 80-20 rule. So we also had to determine which programs to include and exclude given the scope of the definitions framework. There was quite a bit of consultation that went on to determine that the wellness programs and programs like Fit for Function at the YMCA would be considered out of scope and part of wellness. And I know that in our HNHB LIN, we continue to advocate as individuals go to wellness programs in the community that do not have a regulated healthcare provider involved and do continue to experience a significant level of improvement that's measurable on standardized assessments. So we want to acknowledge that and say that for the purposes of adopting the provincial definitions frameworks and the provincial tools, we have maintained what we said our expectation was at the beginning, was to align across all 14 LINs. So there are programs that are out of scope, however, very important programs within the HNHB LIN. On slide 44, it shows how we customized the resources within our LIN. So we did achieve consensus about which programs and services were related to progression. So all the Caring for My COPD programs in the HNHB LIN are aligned with progression, community physiotherapy clinics, single service one-on-one rehabilitative care, some outpatient ambulatory clinics, OTPT, SLP, and hydrotherapy, swallowing clinics, amputee therapy programs, hand therapy, and you can see the customized referral tools there, and I will pull them up. And then for maintenance, it seems like two very easy slides here, but a lot of work went into determining these alignments. So all the regional aphasia programs in the HNHB LIN are aligned with maintenance, falls prevention programs, some outpatient ambulatory clinics, cardiac rehabilitation, spasticity management, and pain management. And again, the link to the tools is on each slide. I will get to the tools very shortly. The RCA naming convention. So really, they wanted to minimize variation in descriptors and provide a shared understanding of rehabilitative care across the province. It's important that we follow the standardized naming convention because it will be used for reporting and navigation purposes in the future. So for example, the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance is working with the Access to Care Wait Time Information System for ALC reporting, and they will be aligning the naming convention with the ALC reporting. There are navigation tools such as Rehab Finder, and it will be aligned with the new naming convention, and resource matching and referral systems will be aligned. So it's applied at the front end of existing programs. I'll just give you an example. So overall, you'll see on our tools that all of our vetted programs have been aligned in the way that's described here. So rehab includes your low-intensity rehab and high-intensity rehab. Activation restoration includes your convalescent care programs that are governed by long-term care home legislation occurring within long-term care, as well as activation restoration programs that are hospital-based within complex care-funded bed types. The complex medical management level of bedded rehabilitative care includes your short and long-term complex medical management. For community-based programs, there are either progression or maintenance, and then the name of the program or the service. On the next slide, you'll see the information that was released after we completed all of our tools, so it just refines this even further. So, for example, if your program's called Musculoskeletal Rehabilitative Care Program, it would be renamed Rehabilitation High Intensity MSK. So, again, there's the level of rehabilitative care and then the program. So it's very important that we can all speak the same language across rehabilitative care providers in the HNHB LIN and also across the province. Restorative care program, if it was previously named restorative care, it would be renamed activation, restoration, restorative care program. So really important that that level of rehabilitative care is there. And then for community-based, it's a little bit more straightforward. If it was previously called day treatment, it would be renamed Progression Day Treatment Program. So we know, based on the features of slide 49, that there's some slight refinements that we may need to make in our tools just to make sure that we're fully aligned. But overall, we're very much aligned. You'll see all of our tools are aligned to all the information in slide 48. And some of the naming, nomenclature, and the ordering that came out in slide 49, we may need to refine that. So as an action for all of you on the call who may have a LIN or ministry-funded rehabilitative care program that's listed on the community referral option tools that I'm going to show you, if you have any changes related to the naming convention, you can email those to me, and my contact information is coming up next. So where does my patient fit? A lot of individuals want some additional resources about determining where an individual might fit within the bedded level of rehabilitative care. There was recently a Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance webinar related to this, but why it's not covered in this webinar due to repetition. But you can see that it's listed on the provincial website, and there's also an audio for the webinar. So you can go through and see that detailed presentation about bedded rehabilitative care, determining, you know, a referral to rehabilitation versus activation restoration, short and long-term complex medical management, and community-based levels of rehabilitative care, and looking at progression versus maintenance. On the HHB LIN webpage, we've developed, on the HHB LIN website, we've developed a rehabilitative care webpage. There's a direct link here, but if you ever are out of the office, you're not near your stuff, and you just want to grab any computer, even if it's related to, a lot of times we might get these questions related to our own family members or friends, you can just Google the HHB LIN, pull up at the top the four health service providers tab, and then for the first time, you'll see rehabilitative care there. So very happy to see that we have all those rehabilitative care resources at our fingertips. And I frequently utilize this website, and we'll be showing it shortly. So if you have any web page updates, because now that we've created this, I do get frequent updates, please send them to me. In the meantime, this is a workaround until we develop the long-term strategy of alignment with Healthline and a rehabilitative care portal, which I'll tell you about next. This next slide is about the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Portal. This has been updated since this presentation was put together, so please don't really look at this screenshot in detail. But the exciting piece is that we have, as part of the provincial plan, to develop that rehabilitative care portal. Regardless of which LIN, you'll be able to go through and find that rehabilitative care webpage. So as a workaround, we currently have the resources on the HHB LIN website that I'm going to show you, as well as all the falls prevention exercise. But the ultimate solution is to have the rehabilitative care portal house this information, and we will be working together to develop what that rehabilitative care portal information will look like in the HHB LIN as part of this work plan. I want to say that here we have, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. There have been an incredible amount of people that have contributed to this work that I want to say thank you to each and every one of you, because we have been able to accomplish a considerable amount of work. If you have questions, you can go into the webinar chat, but I'm going to show you that on this, after this presentation, I'm going to pull up the two web pages now. But there is a feedback survey. If you could please complete the feedback survey, that would be greatly appreciated. When you complete it, you will receive a copy of this presentation. And as part of the presentation, you have a link to key documents here on slide 56. And you also have the opportunity to sign up for the RCA newsletter if you haven't already to get the provincial updates. You have some of the HHB LIN information here. And then in the appendix is also some detailed information about the bedded levels of rehabilitative care and the components that we said about determining where does the person fit. And you'll be able to access all these slides. If you want a non-PDF copy of this, I'd be happy to send it to you. Just email me. We would like everyone to use these slides. The way I've set it up is that there's an acknowledgement to the Provincial Rehabilitative Care Alliance site where we've taken slides from them, and there's one to the HHB LIN where they're HHB LIN specific slides. Now, just quickly, I'm going to show you the HHB LIN website. So again, you would just Google H&H Belin and then go to four HSPs at the top, and then you would see rehabilitative care. Rehabilitative care gives an overview, and then it talks about the levels of rehabilitative care. It gives your bedded referral option tools by subregion. Quickly, you can link here. You can say a map and a table by subregion. The community rehabilitative care of progression or maintenance, and then the community referral option tools by subregion are here. And you could gather all the information that you need. So just as an example, I will open the bedded referral option tool by subregion for Brant. So it just takes a moment, and then you'll be able to see the same for every tool. There's an introduction, there's the overview of the bedded levels, and then a breakdown of specific to Brant subregion. So in Brant, you'll know that they have a rehabilitation program, they have high intensity rehab beds, and they have their integrated stroke unit beds. You can see their activation restoration, short-term complex medical management. We'll go through the details. But you'll also have a contact for each, information about the referral process, and also the number of beds related to each program. So they have high-intensity rehab beds, low-intensity rehab beds, referral process for each, contact for each. There's all of the complex care bed types. So some of the programs have coordinated bed access in our LHIN, so you would be very familiar with that, with H&H BLIN Home and Community Care. Manages, so the referral process would go through H&H BLIN Home and Community Care. And then the appendix includes the eligibility criteria and the restorative potential. So you should be able to go on our webpage, download this tool if you're interested in Brant bedded, and print it and have this information at your fingertips. We encourage everyone on this call to please share these resources with patients and families as indicated. So for example, if you feel an individual requires a referral or they're transitioning to care at one of those programs, then you'd be able to, as a health service provider, have that information, which is designed for health service providers. We want you to share it as indicated with patients and families related to the resources that you're referring individuals to or that they may be transitioning to. So again, for Brant, you can open up the RCA map and tables. So I'm just going to go to Brant, and then if I'm more visual, I can look at the map and see where all the programs exist. If I prefer to have that table and I might be a little bit more data-driven, I just want to know the numbers, then you can look at the numbers. It's important to note that a lot of work went into developing these tools, and there's a crosswalk related to all of the programs and the previous naming and nomenclature and funded bed types. A crosswalk between where we were before April 2017 and how we are doing after April 1st, 2017. So some people still ask me for those crosswalks. If you're a new staff and you want to look at historically the work, then happy to do that as well, and you can email me. But we're really looking forward, and this shows all of the programs embedded rehabilitative care in our LHIN. So similarly, for community referral option tools, I'll pick a different subregion. Maybe I'll pick Hamilton here, but this is, word of warning, a very large tool. You can see the group in Hamilton had to go through a significant amount of work because this tool is 32 pages long. And a lot of the programs are one page, and it's just related to the nature of some of the outpatient programs. You can go through and see all the hospital-based outpatients. I'm just going to scroll through really quickly because then it gets to in-home, which is our home and H&H BLIN Home and Community Care. Outside of the home, community physiotherapy clinics, they'll go through. So again, you're looking at the top of whether it's a community program and whether it's progression or maintenance, it will indicate at the top. And each program has been aligned within each subregion with either community or maintenance. Each bedded program has been aligned by the four levels of bedded rehabilitative care. And for the first time, you'll be able to access any of this information across any subregion and be able to know who to contact related to each program if you have a question or a concern. And really, the definition of Rehabilitative Care Alliance in the H&H BLIN is that we really have been building a rehabilitative care alliance, an alliance where all health service providers have been coming together. And as you can see, there are a considerable number of stakeholders in our LHIN that have had to work together to create these tools, the maps, the tables, to agree upon alignment of programs and to really get that consistency shared understanding and communication in our LIN. And I know that there's been an incredible amount of learning related to not only services that individuals provide and how they align in the provincial context, but also how programs relate to one another and services that exist within subregions where individuals may not be aware that those programs exist and believe that individuals can be directed to those programs easier and that all of us can work together to make sure that individuals end up at the right place, the right time. So just quickly, because I want to make sure there's time for questions, is that also on the HHB LIN website is physiotherapy, exercise, and falls prevention information. So for the first time, we've just made this change where there's publicly funded exercise and falls prevention programs listed by subregion. So again, I'll pick a different one. I'll pick Haldimand Norfolk this time and open it. And that link's also included there in the tool. And then now for the first time, you'll be able to see if you're in Haldimand Norfolk and you're referring individuals to a program there, then all of the exercise programs are listed. And then all the falls prevention programs, you can see all the health service providers, the location, the address, and how to contact individuals. So again, wanting to acknowledge all the individuals on this webinar today and all the individuals who've been involved in creating these tools for referring partners in the HHB LIN and turn it over to some questions. So I'm just going to unmute this line here for a minute and hope it works on five. And just check, are there any questions?
The leader
on the
has unmuted your line.
Hello, I hear someone talking. Do you have a question? So just a reminder, if you don't have a question, to just mute your line using *6 or a mute feature, and just please don't use hold because then it will play music and the other individuals may not be able to ask questions. So I'm just going to go to the webinar really quickly and see. There were a couple questions on the webinar. Marky Rickman is asking, will we be provided the slides? And the answer is yes. Please go to that SurveyMonkey link and complete the survey, and then you'll get the slides sent to you at the end. And I will send an email immediately following this webinar with that SurveyMonkey link. And I'm just going to pull it up, actually, for individuals who want to see it right now. And you may want to be able to do it in the moment. Okay, there's the SurveyMonkey link on the side there. And then I'm just going to go over. Sorry, it just took me a second there because it bumped me off of the question. Again, will we get a copy of the PowerPoint? The answer is yes. And I don't see any more. I hope Matthews at Physio Rehab, were you able to join the teleconference in here? Okay, I'm just going to add the SurveyMonkey link. The slides will be available upon completion of the SurveyMonkey. Any other questions on teleconference? I'm really happy that we still have 8 minutes left, so don't be afraid. There's still 8 minutes left to ask questions. I'm going to leave a little bit of silence just to see to give some. There's a lot of participants on the call. There's 40 people right now, so just give a moment in case anyone wants to come forward with a question, or you can put it, if you're more comfortable, you can put it in the chat function. Does anyone have any good news stories about using these tools and resources and how they help direct individuals to the right place at the right time? Feel free to share those as well. Okay, here is the, that was it. I like to make jokes. Right here is the link, and it's in the chat function. If you want to complete the SurveyMonkey, that would be greatly appreciated. Wanted to know if this webinar met your expectations in terms of what the outline was and what was going to be provided today. If you have any ideas for future webinars or you want to see something different, please let me know. I would highly recommend that you go to the Provincial RCA website, as there are all past webinars are posted there, as well as the audio file. We are recording this webinar today, so I am hoping that the audio file will be available and we can post that on the website as well for future reference. Again, we have 5 minutes left, so just making sure that there are no questions on the teleconference line. Okay. Hearing that, do I hear someone with a question or saying they're good? Okay, so if there are no further questions, then we'll end the teleconference for today. Wanting to say thank you to everyone who's joined, and again, a big thank you to all of you who have contributed to this considerable amount of work. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.